This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're tuning in to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Tan Cheng Han, and with us in the studio today is Asa Iskandar Hugh, Deputy CEO of Rockwell's Trustee. Good morning, Asa, and welcome to the program.
Morning.
You are here to talk about digital assets. Now, I kind of have a vague idea about what digital assets are, but explain it to us. How would you classify digital assets?
Well, okay, digital assets, it's unlike your traditional assets. It's all in binary, ones and zeros. It's all recorded. You have all this data. It's stored in drives, in electronic form, magnetic form, and optical form. And in the future, in probably some other format that will be stored.
Like holograms.
Holograms. It's something that you don't have a feel for it. You can't touch it and all that.
Right.
You don't have any physical existence in that sense. Unlike your traditional assets of property, a car, money in the bank account and all that, right? So that's a new class of assets that is of value.
Yeah. All right. So how do you arrive at the value of some of these digital assets? So say my pictures on Facebook. How would you arrive at the valuation of those pictures?
Well, if you're taking holiday pictures and whatnot, social pictures and all that will have some sentimental value for your family. But if you're a professional photographer, for example, and you keep pictures stored in your Dropbox and whatnot, because no one prints out hard copy these days, those are of value to your family, which they could actually sell it off. For money purposes or for revenue for the estate and for the loved ones. The other bit is if you have digital currencies, you've invested in it. Take, for example, you had this investor by the name of Matthew Mellon. He invested $2 million USD in XRP, a type of cryptocurrency. Unfortunately, he died somewhere in April. And his access code for that digital currency account was in an e-wallet that was encrypted, and no one could get access to it.
Right.
The thing is, what was the value when he died? It was valued at USD 1 billion.
Right.
So the family lost 1 billion simply by not being able to find the key to that e-wallet.
Oh, man. Beyond some of these digital assets that have monetary value, like you mentioned, some of these cryptocurrencies and professional works, what about the other digital assets that may just hold sentimental value? How important is it whereby Rockwell Trustees is actually spending time and resources dedicated to it, including this? Into the transfer of these assets into these wills?
Yeah. Usually what will happen is that if you have digital assets, whether it's of financial value or sentimental value, you could actually give it away in your will. For example, if you got quite a bit of the personal sentimental things stored in your cloud account, you could actually give it away in your will to your particular loved one for them to get that collection of photographs, collection of other things that you may have in there, for them to appreciate it over time. And sometimes you may have your stories that you have written, your poems written on, and you kept it online account for them to extract it and then keep it for themselves to read over time and to remember their grandfather or father by what period of time.
So essentially, this is part of a will writing process then, right? So as you transfer your other physical assets or your conventional assets, you then tack on these digital assets as well. And the idea is to raise awareness that, hey, you have these things online that are important, either of financial value or sentimental value, that need to be considered as well as you pass on the estate to your loved ones.
Correct.
So how does that process work then?
You could simply just put in your will, just like any other asset. Instead of, I give my house in Taman Tun, for example, to my son, I could actually now give my cryptocurrency accounts to my son. or I give all my the contents of all my Dropbox account to my wife. So you could just itemize it in your will.
Right.
I think the issue would be, once you have written in the will, because unlike traditional assets, it's difficult to recover.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So recovery becomes an issue where you have to ensure that you have, you do put down the your ID, your access code somewhere for your executor in the will to actually be able to gain access to it and then do the necessary transfer.
Right.
If you have written in your will only that I give all my cryptocurrency accounts to my son, but no one knows what type of cryptocurrency account do you have,
mm-hmm.
How to gain access to those accounts, it's kind of pointless to write it in, all right? So writing it in and making sure that access is available, that's very important.
Right. And some of these examples that you have given, like cryptocurrencies or items in Dropboxes, are these real-life examples? Have Malaysians already started incorporating these digital assets into their wills? Or is it still pretty nascent right now?
It's still pretty new, but we do have already clients who willed away their cryptocurrency accounts to beneficiaries named in the will. So we advise them, ensure that whenever you change your access code, you have to update it somewhere else in your inventory list so that your executor can gain access to it. Otherwise, again, without updating those latest access codes somewhere else for the family to gain access, it's going to be lost as well.
Mm. And how much hand-holding does Rockwell's trustee do then? Because while it may be valuable in the hands of the person who owned or created some of these digital works, it may not be as valuable in the hands of whoever it's passed on to. Say, for example, pictures that were taken by a professional photographer, right?
Yeah.
And then that were passed on to someone else who perhaps doesn't know how to value it or monetize it, right? Does Rockwell's trustee do any hand-holding to help unlock the value of these digital assets?
Yeah, it can be. If the client himself knows that the family have got no idea
like what to
how
do with
to monetize,
crypto,
what to do with crypto, what to do with the pictures and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we could get it appraised, number one, in terms of the pictures, for example, and to see whether there's a market for it to be sold off or an exhibition to be held. So we can do all that for that for the client. For cryptocurrency, it's pretty easy. It's mainly to gain access to it thereafter to see, okay, when's the right time to
cash out?
Cash out. I don't know. A little bit like a stock market to some extent.
Right. What are some perhaps misconceptions or myths that you have encountered already as you go about there trying to educate Malaysians about the value of their digital assets?
Well, a lot of people don't see it as an asset. That's the thing.
Mm.
All right? And they don't see it as a long-term asset, unlike your traditional assets. So many would omit putting it in the will.
Mm.
The other challenge in handling digital assets is that many don't update their list of what type of digital assets
that's right
he or she has at this moment, what type of account that you have got, where is the access code, what is the access code, where do you keep it, and all that. Requires, like, for example, if the account asks you every 3 months you have to update your password, you will do the updating on the account in your laptop and whatnot, but physically you do have to keep a list. And usually people don't update the list. You may update the account but not update the list, so that becomes a problem at the end of the day.
Right.
Nobody will know what's the new access code or password.
Mm. Right. And our activities in the digital realm, you know, they are quite fluid, very regular. Right? I can post stuff so often on my phone and create multiple accounts, right? And so in the event that, like you mentioned, this person has submitted this will to you that includes the transfer of these digital assets, but then do not update them, right? What do you do? Do you have those kind of expansive powers whereby you can also tap into these other accounts that are not on the list? Or if it's not on the list, too bad, it's gone.
Okay, usually what we will do for clients, because just like bank accounts, you have one today, tomorrow you have another one, and then so on and so forth, right? So it's always going to, you'll have more and more over time. Same thing with digital assets. In the will, unless you have a specific online account that you want to give to someone, you do mention specifically that account. Otherwise, we'll ask you to generalize it. For example, all my social media accounts, which could be a dozen or more than that, that you may have. The thing is, how will your family know? We'll ask the client, put it down in an inventory list for digital assets. We call it a digital asset memorandum.
Okay.
Where it will list down what kind of email do you have, social media accounts, what's the ID. The password, you don't need to list it there, but you could basically say the password is being handed to who for the executive to gain access to. Of course, you have to find someone that you trust to give the password to. This includes your cryptocurrency passwords and whatnot.
Well, okay, fascinating stuff. So again, that digital asset memorandum sounds a bit daunting though. But tell you what, we'll get more into that in the second half as we continue to unpack this concept. I'm speaking to Azhar Iskandar Hugh, Deputy CEO of Rockwell's Trustee. This is Ringgit and Cents. Stay tuned.
Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Tan Chung Han, and still with me in the studio is Azhar Iskandar Hugh, Deputy CEO of Rockwell's Trustee, here to talk about digital assets. Now, Azhar, in the first half, we used some broad strokes in describing what digital assets are and how we find or uncover the value in these assets. It could be financial value or it could be sentimental value as well. Now let's dive deeper and talk about the different types of digital assets that, you know, those listening right now should consider when it comes to including them into their wills.
Yeah, the type of digital assets can be devices as well, digital devices. Most commonly your handphone, your laptop and all that, but no one gives it away because by the time you pass on it can't be used.
It's obsolete, yeah.
It's obsolete, or damaged and whatnot. The other type is, of course, those the data. The very important ones like that you have your domain names, right? Domain names, your e-wallets at the end of the day, which is actually, well, money in electronic form at the end of the day that you keep. Source codes for your programs.
Source codes?
Source codes for your program that you have completed, you have designed, and it could be sold off because it could be very of high value as well.
Or intellectual property.
Intellectual property rights. Then you could have manuscripts, poems or whatnot they have written, but you have encrypted the file, which could be monetized at the end of the day for the family at the end of the day, as well as, of course, the usual one, cryptocurrency that everybody talks about. The other one is, you mentioned earlier to me, your points from Fortnite games and whatnot.
Because I was thinking that now with this phenomenon of, you know, not just video games, but how much money is actually plowed into some of these video games. And if, let's say, that gamer, the original gamer, passes away, right? What happens to all the stored value and in-game credits, et cetera? Can that be considered a digital asset as well?
Yeah, that's a digital asset. So whether it can be transferred or not to another owner would depend on the terms and condition of that that game provider. If you can't, what happens is that the moment you give access to a family member, that family member could, in a way, take over your role and continue to play the game and earn whatever it is to be earned.
I don't know. I don't play Fortnite.
I don't play that as well. But you know, I'm told that you could monetize it. You know, there, and you could get paid quite handsomely in that sense.
Right. Zooming out, right, broadly speaking, how would you gauge the level of awareness when it comes to Malaysians understanding the importance of not just digital assets, but their wills in general? Because we have had other people come on the program speaking about this. And broadly speaking, it's been quite subdued. Broadly speaking, you know, has it been at a satisfactory level, you think?
The market awareness has been growing quite a number of years already. It's getting much better. But of course, there are people who still would prefer not to have the will and all that. There's still that superstition bit. But that level has been reduced quite substantially over the years. So more and more people are being aware of the importance of having a will, even among Muslims, I do know they. Because especially for Muslims, when you pass on and you have the Farid, the beneficiaries coming in, the number of heirs tends to be quite a sizable number. and you have you need family members to agree who to run the show. Sometimes you cannot get all of them to agree. So it's important for Muslim and non-Muslim to have a will, name your executor, so you've got someone in charge doing it and it's not disputed. And you apply for a court order, thereafter this person will take charge, handle the asset distribution, collection and whatnot.
Including digital assets.
The thing about the digital assets when you put in the will, if you are appointing, for example, a trust company like Rock Wills to be your executor, you may want to pass the access code not to Rock Wills, of course, but to pass it to a person that you trust, which we usually name him as a digital facilitator. All right, so that the access code, you can pass it to this person. Things like, for example, email contents, social media contents, that upon passing, you would want your digital facilitator go into that account, extract all the contents, store it, you know, back it up, and then pass it on to my family members.
Right.
Those doesn't require any court order anyway. All right. Those are not monetary value, so that can be done.
Coming back to the wills side of things, I mean, if you had to give me a timeline here, again, like you said, it's relatively new. What prompted Rockwell trustees to try to raise awareness about these things? Is it something that's been in the market for a long period of time, that something we just haven't realized yet, or is it something that is pretty new? This practice of including digital assets into the wills.
Yeah, it's something pretty new that we have looked into past 1 year or so, that we realized that more and more people at that point in time investing in cryptocurrencies, doing online business, right? Using Facebook for business as well and all that.
That's right.
So those are all assets and of value that usually get missed out in the list of assets when a family member tells you, my father or my husband or my wife have got these assets. You will see that in those lists of assets that you apply for court order for the probate, none of it would have any listing of digital assets.
And so was this something that the market pushed for, or is this something that Rockwills, you guys are taking the initiative to raise awareness about?
It's something that we are taking the initiative.
Ah, okay. And how's the take-up rate been so far?
Right now, we have, for every will that we've written, I think, out of 100, there'll probably be one client would list one way or the other some form of digital assets that he or she is giving away.
Wow.
I mean, it would be a cryptocurrency account. It could be a Dropbox account. It could be a Facebook content that he or she would want to give it away.
One in 100, that's not too bad. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, because you know, in my conversations with some of the other trustee companies, broadly speaking, the topic of death is still pretty taboo. I mean, have you found that to be the case still? Or has that waned? Has that taboo waned?
The taboo has waned.
Really?
Okay. You have more people, quite a number of people are buying, you know, prepaid packages of a funeral.
Yeah, so that's right.
Writing wills, it's no longer a taboo.
I think something else that's lacking in the conversation is that, you know, young people can also be a part of this process, right? Because you just don't know when you will pass away, right? So correct. Has that demographic changed, or is this will writing process still very much confined to those who are older?
Well, we're seeing more and more younger clients in their early 30s. When they get married, they have children, then they begin to, okay, I need to have a will in case I passed on, and then I've got a young child to look after. So at least my estate plan is in order for my young child to receive funds on a regular basis before he or she grows up.
Right. So essentially, it's when you have dependents, right? Because if, let's say, you know, for a young, single, childless person like me, and plus, I don't really have much to pass on anyway. So, hey, you know, no one's losing out on anything. How do you change those kind of mindsets then?
Whatever assets that you have, it's of value. The question is whether you want to pass it on to your next of kin. If you want to make it easier for them to receive, say, write a will and pass it on to them. If you don't care about it.
There's not much, you know. There's just dust in my account. Azza, with the little time that we have left, so just sum it all up for us then. You know, what is the one key message that you'd like to leave with our listeners in terms of understanding the importance of those digital assets and then ultimately perhaps passing it on to someone else?
Well, listing it down in the will, it's pretty simple to do. What's important is having that digital asset memorandum and updating the list of digital assets you have, as well as updating on a regular basis your access code and keeping it separately so that your family members or the digital facilitator will be able to gain access to those assets easily. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, your digital assets will be lost. Mm. For example, if you have cryptocurrency, nobody knows the access code. Your few million or few hundred thousand investment will be lost.
Mm.
And there's no way to recover. Any court order in Malaysia or anywhere around the world, this court order, you don't know who to pass it to do recovery.
Mm.
For cryptocurrency, for example, they have an issue there.
All right. Well, hopefully our listeners have learned quite a lot from you and hopefully they'll apply it when they draft out their wills as well. Thank you so much for your time and your insights. That was Azza Iskandar Hugh, Deputy CEO of Rock Wills Trustees. I'm Tan Chung Han and this has been Ringgit and Sense. Stay tuned because we'll have the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up and after that, Enterprise right here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.